Chaz and AJ, Premier Auto Group News.
Is Jeff Bezos really an astronaut?
I
think there's only one type of person you could ask this question to and get an answer that sticks, and that is a real astronaut.
Oh, okay.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Colonel Terry Virts, astronaut, retired Air Force fighter pilot on the phone. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back on. Wish I was there in person.
We can you anytime.
Yep.
Anytime. You could just walk in. We could have a full show.
Exactly.
And you could say, who is it? Terry Virts. Oh. Come on in.
Don't even knock.
We will blow out the day.
Yeah, don't just even knock. I'm always decent.
Just walk in.
You are everything great about this country. We're doing a comedy show tomorrow night for veterans, and we just can't thank anyone who has served this country enough. And then
Seriously. Not
only have you served this country, you served the planet and the galaxy
right.
by blasting off into space.
Yeah. God, man.
Now,
overachiever.
What do you think of Jeff Bezos? Is he an astronaut?
Well, it's pretty cool. My old shuttle crewmate is actually their launch director. So he was the guy in charge of on the ground, making sure it went well. So I was excited for those guys.
That's cool.
I
that
got
guy,
so
yes.
many texts. I got so many texts about it. My one friend said, Terry, it took you longer to do most bodily functions in space than those guys spent in space. So people were mad about this.
Exactly.
And I laughed. That would be a great opening monologue for, Saturday Night TV. But,
right.
you know, they did leave the atmosphere. They were up in space. They were floating. And it's a different level. I mean, you know, I'm a scuba diver, but I'm not a Navy SEAL. So it's just a different, it's a different level of I guess, astronaut.
Expertise.
It's interesting you use that. That is a quote. But I was going to say, it's like getting in a bathtub and saying you're a scuba diver.
Exactly right. Right.
You know?
Well, you know, there's pilot, you know, my first flying was in a glider. I got the solo glider at the Air Force Academy when I was 18. And that's different than being a 747 pilot or a F-16 pilot, but you're still flying an airplane. So
I do get, I don't want to be one of these people who sees a rocket blast off and people go into space, even though it's just like dipping a toe in the water of space and say, oh, come on, you're not really.
That's my job.
That was extraordinary.
Yeah.
But he called himself an astronaut.
You're not an astronaut.
I think that's a stretch. That's right. Where I got a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth for that.
You're a space aficionado. Hmm.
What do you think?
there's a lot. I got a lot of text messages about that, but I don't begrudge those guys. If I had never been in space, I would definitely want to go up and see the planet and float. And, you know, the more people that you have that get that perspective, I think the better off we'll be. And the people, there's also a lot of billionaire hate going on, which I understand. And we got to fix the tax system and there's some problems we got to fix. But, you know, the people that work at Blue Origin are very happy to have good middle-class, you know, high-tech jobs. And so there's a lot of benefit that come from that.
I saw that, too. There were a number of politicians who said, hey, instead of going into space, he should pay his fair share down here on Earth.
Yep.
I think that paying taxes isn't the only contribution you can make to humanity. And I think it's great that we're going into space.
Yeah.
And when people are saying, hey, this planet might not last long, can you blame someone for trying to get out of here? Really?
I have days like that, too.
But
that's
part
of their motivation.
If I saw someone do something, I think I'd have to put it this way. If someone got in front of a camera and said, yes, I'm a hero, I think I'd say,
in what way?
Right.
What did you do exactly?
Like, I've never seen an astronaut get in front of a camera and say, I'm a hero.
No.
You know?
No.
I don't know. Then the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of that. I thought, this seems not like everything I've read and seen about this guy. It seemed a little weird to me.
Yeah, very weird.
What took you, what did you see in that launch that you thought as an astronaut, like, wow, they got this right?
Well, most importantly, it was successful. But Blue Origin was the first company to land a rocket vertically. SpaceX has been doing it since then. But that's a pretty amazing technology. And Blue Origin especially has much bigger plans. This small rocket that they have for space tourism is called New Shepard. But they've got a New Glenn and a New Armstrong that are going to be much bigger, you know, orbital rockets, ones designed to go to the moon or Mars. And so this is kind of a first step. And wow. It's actually a great, just like NASA, you know, we did Mercury and then Gemini and then Apollo. So this is a great first step for them. But they are way behind Elon Musk, like 10 years behind. It's amazing how much Elon has accomplished quicker than Blue Origin.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, it's amazing when you think about in 1961, we just blasted someone into space right. and they orbited the Earth. And now regular people are doing it.
Regular people like Jeff Bezos.
Right.
Yeah.
Need a better shaped rocket.
Right. Though. Regular people like Jeff Bezos. Maybe yeah. not
just
so.
Like you and me.
Right. Yeah. Maybe better, not so regular.
That rocket need a better shape, man. Look ridiculous.
Hey, but think of all the Austin Power memes we got to see.
Like, I know.
Exactly. Right. The Joe's in a Pussycast, Austin Powers.
Yep. Okay. We're talking to Colonel Terry Virts, astronaut, retired United States Air Force fighter pilot. When you looked at that rocket, did you see either male genitalia or to the rocket from Josie and the Pussycats?
Well, the Josie and the Pussycats one was longer and skinnier. The Bezos one is kind of short, but it's shorter and fatter. So.
Okay, so personal
We're still
massager.
Talking about a rocket.
Personal massager, right?
It's a weird look, right?
Yeah,
now, you're an astronaut. You climbed into cool stuff.
Right.
Would you walk into that thing?
Well, you know what? I have been in the capsule. I haven't been on top of the rocket, and the capsule is amazing.
It
has
really?
Huge windows. Yeah, it's a cool capsule. It's got huge windows, but to be honest, it's completely automated. I mean, there's literally nothing to do. All you have to do is get yourself strapped in. And so it's kind of, as I'm a test pilot, I want to fly the thing, like the space shuttle.
Yeah.
I flew it. There's nothing to do in their capsule.
That's all they did.
Oh, they did. So
what happens if something goes wrong and there's a disconnect, like, you know, how you lose your internet connection?
Yeah.
Is there an option in that for whoever's in there to take over?
No.
Interesting.
There's a seatbelt. You can put your seatbelt on and that's about it.
Fasten your seatbelts.
And scream.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a lot of trust in your people.
Yeah. It's that's just their design philosophy, and that's, you know, 100 years from now, people are going to be like, remember, you know, Grandpa used to drive his car. Remember that? That was fun when we used to drive. They'll all be automated.
That's why I say you're not really an astronaut if you're not flipping buttons and making decisions.
Yeah.
You know, you're a
right.
passenger, which
you're
is
passenger,
great.
Yeah.
You're great. That's great. What'd you think about Wally Funk going up?
I thought it was cool. I mean, I'm happy for her. To be honest, I was a little nervous just with the age and, you know, clearly
the G-forces.
She can do it. She did great, but there's a lot of exuberance right now. Let's just go fly in space. Well, in the 80s, there was a lot of exuberance about the space shuttle, and we can send teachers into space. It's operational, and then, you know, Challenger happened. So I'm a little bit sober just because I know how dangerous things are. And,
right.
You know, these things are not, it's not 100% guaranteed. It's not like you're getting on an airplane from Philly to Atlanta, you know, you just have to realize that this is not 100% safe.
You mentioned a Challenger. We were talking to someone this week who wrote a book about it. And even with everything I knew and growing up with that, and then the reports and the commission after, I was surprised taking another look at it. How many people knew that that was going to be a problem going off in those temperatures?
Yeah, I actually teach a class at Harvard Business School about that. It's called Why Organizations Fail, and I talk about Columbia and Challenger. And every time, it's every semester, you know, and every time I finish it, I come away angry because there was just, you know, people were standing up in both cases. It was the same accident, 17 years apart, different technical thing, but the same, you know, human decision-making root cause. And it's a lesson for all organizations because, you know, so airplanes never just blow up. They always talk to you beforehand. Like somebody notices something, like the condo in Florida is exactly the same thing. Like companies had inspected it and went, whoa, this thing's not looking good. And it didn't just happen on its own. You know, people start to notice warning signs before it does.
It was amazing to me that they knew the O-rings wouldn't work. or it could be a problem. And one guy even told his wife the night before, that thing's going to blow up on the launch pad. And if you look at the luck of that thing, it just, if it was made it another few seconds, right, it would have been fine.
Well, but it was inevitable. They had had, on previous missions, they had had O-rings leaking out into space, so it didn't matter, right? There was gas coming out, but it was pointed away from the shuttle. On Challenger, just where the ring happened to leak was pointed at the fuel tank, so it was like a blowtorch on a million pounds of high explosives, wow. Which is not good. Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, horrible. And no one went to jail.
No.
No. And it was, I'm actually writing I'm writing some stuff about that right now. So yeah, it was, but that's, you know, that's part of the risk when you fly in space. It's not, you know, there's a risk there.
Yeah. You just hope that the risks don't come from the people who are making decisions, you know, to put you in risk. So Colonel Terry Virts is on. He has, a podcast, which you're, if you're into this stuff, man, this is, has to be on a must listen. We're linked up on the radio station website. You're doing one now. It's a special Down to Earth, and this covers kind of this, all this UFO stuff coming out. Why now? Why is everyone coming forward now? From a former president to former directors of intelligence, they're all saying, yeah, there is something out there.
It's time, yes.
Yeah, so it is, I think because there was a New York Times article a few years ago, and my friend Chris Mellon and a guy named Lou Elizondo, and I've had them both on the podcast. The podcast is called Down to Earth with Terry Virts. You can find it wherever. And the stuff that they have said is just incredible. And these are serious guys. These are not like the UFO hunting club, right? These are former defense officials. And they've just seen some amazing data, like radar tracking data, infrared camera data, eyewitness reports from fighter pilots and so on. And these are guys who, when they wake up in the morning, their goal for the day is to not see a UFO. I mean, like nobody that I've ever known in the Air Force has wanted to be the guy that goes and reports UFOs.
Right.
But, so it's just interesting that these things are happening, but
do you have a theory on this? Why now? Do they think that there's going to be some serious contact, or now that private people are going out there, the government's not going to be able to control the information coming back to us?
You know, I have no idea. The you know, Joe Rogan thinks it's because we started doing nuclear bombs that you know, other civilizations were like, hey, we got to keep an eye on these humans. But I don't know.
Came into the picture in terms of, you know, big sightings.
Right.
Yeah.
Not off over there.
But now, now it's not just the crazy people. Well, quote, crazy people who seemed crazy at the time.
Yeah.
But now it's, you know, former President Obama and directors of Intel, former directors. It's a lot all around the same time.
Yeah. Well, the one of the senators snuck a provision in the bill for this year that the DOD had to make a report within 6 months. And so that report just came out a few weeks ago. It didn't say much. It said, yeah, there's been a bunch of sightings and we're not sure what some of them are. Is basically what it said. But I think that just generated. Plus, everybody loves UFOs. Like on my podcast, I get hundreds of times more views when I have a guy on talking about UFOs than other stuff. But let me say real quick, I did an episode last week. Please listen to it. It was so important. It was by a guy who was a Chinese Uyghur, and he escaped from China, became a refugee, and started a business here on the East Coast. And he's teaching basically poor people how to code. It's the coolest story. But
really?
The story escaping from China is pretty awesome. Yeah.
I feel like you have to be, you could be poor, but you can't be one of us. You have to be smart.
Right.
Right. Well, like I'm never going to write code. Let's be serious. Yeah, I mean, like this guy's not going to say, all right, you Chaz, you're my next project.
Yeah. I caught a code once.
Yeah.
He's got 2,000 students around the world. That's amazing. I met him at Harvard Business School. This guy, 10 years ago, he's a United Nations refugee in Turkey. We escaped to America, got a minimum wage job at the mall, and now he's running a business. It's a really amazing story. He got arrested by the Chinese, and he's telling stories of what they're doing over
there. That's a movie.
Yeah, that is a movie.
It is a movie. I know. It could be. And but it's a cool episode. I just want people to hear what folks are going through. And, you know, he talked about stuff I'd never thought of, like his little boy wanted a Buzz Lightyear toy and he couldn't afford it. And it was just like heartbreaking. And he was talking about how expensive it is to be poor just because you get all these fees added up. And if you're late, you get fees. And it's actually more expensive to be poor than it is, you know, not poor. So it was a cool conversation.
Oh, I'll be listening to that this weekend.
Yeah.
No doubt. Have you ever been to Area 51? That's a yes!
You know, Area 52 is the one you want to see, but we can't talk about that.
Really? 52?
Studio 54?
Did anyone know there was a 52?
No, I didn't know.
I figured.
53?
I knew there was a 50.
I was a 47 once. I was a 47 once.
Now you pull my leg.
Well, so there's a thing called Red Flag where we go out and fly in the desert in Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas, and it's the big fighter pilot training exercise. And I was flying along. We showed up, and I was looking at my map, and there's this thing called the container. It's a box, and you're not allowed to fly in it because it's, you know, you're just not allowed to fly there. And I'm looking down, and I see all these giant divots, and I'm like, okay, the map doesn't look like this. Why am I flying over these giant divots? Well, I was flying in the wrong place. The guy in the squadron put the wrong coordinates in my route, and he flew me right through the place I wasn't supposed to fly. So,
or did he? What were the divots? Yeah. Intakes?
Right.
Air intakes?
The divots were from nuclear testing back in the 50s.
Oh.
It looks like a sand trap where golf balls hit, only they're, you know, half mile across. So I landed, and they're like, hey, you're heading back to Germany tomorrow. So the Air Force basically says, if you fly into someplace you're not supposed to fly, they send you home. Because if you do it once, it's an accident, and if you do it twice, it's not an accident. They don't want you to do it twice. So
gotcha.
They take that option away from you. So I got my wingman and I have a picture of us with doing thumbs up, like on our way home after we weren't supposed to fly.
Saw the divots.
Yeah. That would be me and AJ, Dumb and Dumber.
Google Maps.
Oh, Jesus. All right. I could talk to you forever. We got to have you back. And I'll be listening to that podcast this weekend. We're linked up on WPLR.com, 95.9thefox.com. Thank you again for your service.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. We'll talk soon.
Always. Colonel Terry Virts, astronaut and retired Air Force fighter pilot.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Rose is your name, but when you poop, it sure don't smell like roses. Your number 2 burns the hair in my nose. But we fought hand in paw. Now your poop don't stink at all. Now that the air is clear, I'll treasure your front and rear. My sweet rose.
Instantly neutralize poop stink with Poop Fighter from World's Best Cat Litter for the world's best cat.